Okay. The topic is really not related to the parasha at all, although it's related to the time of year that we're in. And that is Sfirah, in which there's a very strange halacha. I didn't put it on the sheet. I should have. I'm reading from Tav Pei Tes in the Shulchan Aruch. Misheshoelo tochaveiro ben ashmashos, kama yimei hasfirah b'zehalayla. Right? If somebody asks you at a time that you could count, how many days is it in Sfirah? Yomar lo etmol kach v'kach. Right? You tell him yesterday was whatever. Shim yomar lo hayom kach v'kach. Eino yachol lachzor v'limnot bivracha. Because if you tell him, you know, tonight is 35, yes, I'm allowed to do that. Then if it's at a time where you could be counting, that would be your counting, and you would have lost out on the bracha. Avol kodem bein hashmashos, but if it's earlier than you could count, as it is for all of us now, kevan she'eino zman sfira ein bekach klum. Since it's not yet 35, we can all say tonight is 35. But when the moment comes that in theory you could count 35, if you do that, you cannot count again with a bracha. What's the assumption underlying that halacha? The assumption is clear. And that is, you can be yotze the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer without a bracha. Right? If you the mitzvah of Sfira Sa'omer is just to count. If you count without a bracha, you are yotze the mitzvah. So where does that leave you? It leaves you having lost out on making a birchas hamitzvah. What does that mean? What does it mean that I didn't make a birchas hamitzvah? What does it mean that I was yotze the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, but I was not yotze the mitzvah of making a bracha? So Sfiras HaOmer is not the best example, although it's the one that we think about, and obviously it works in the other way, right? What if, God forbid, you missed a night? And you miss the whole next day, then you're no longer allowed to make a bracha. Are you allowed to count? Absolutely. Is it a mitzvah to count? Absolutely. So what's the relationship between the bracha and the mitzvah? Now, again, the reason why Sfira Sa'omer is not the best example is because Sfira Sa'omer bizman hazeh drabana. So anybody could say to me, well, you know, it's just a drabanan, so it doesn't really matter. What I want to do today is talk about the concept of birchas hamitzvah, ask the basic questions, you know, is it d'oraisa, is it drabanan, what is its impact on kiyum hamitzvah? Meaning, what happens if I eat matzah at my seder, a mitzvah d'oraisa bizman hazeh, but I forgot to count? Does that impact on my ma'isa hamitzvah? Does that impact on my eating matzah? Or is it something completely external to it? Okay. This will...
Could you repeat that last sentence?
No, I wasn't paying attention. Oh, wait.
You said...
Yes. As I think of it, but I'm thinking of something. Yes, the answer is, if I ate matzah at my seder without making a bracha, does the lack of a bracha impact? Okay, we're at the same seder, okay? You make a bracha and eat your matzah. I forget to make a bracha. I just make hamotzi and I eat my matzah. Is there any difference between what you did and what I did, other than the fact that you made a bracha and I didn't? What's the impact of a bracha on my ma'isa hamitzvah? But that's the question. To do that, we need to back up a little bit and ask ourselves a broader question, which is, what's a bracha? What does it mean when I make a bracha? So we know we all translate it to a blessing, okay, which is not a bad translation. The question is, what does that mean? Anybody who thinks about it seriously realizes that the idea of me blessing God leads to a whole bunch of philosophic problems. Who am I? Does God need my blessing? Can I impact God? Right? It's not something we're generally comfortable with. which is why in the Rishonim, the better translation for a bracha is not Baruch Ata Hashem, you know, may you be blessed, O God, but rather Baruch Ata Hashem, it's descriptive, God who is the source of all blessings. Okay? But broadly speaking, you know, if you ask what's the purpose behind the bracha, it's an excuse. It's an excuse to praise God, right? It's an excuse to thank God, depending on the circumstances of the bracha. And basically, brachos break down into three categories. And this comes up in all places. It's in the Rambam, as we'll see in a second. The ones we're talking about, Birchos HaMitzvah, right? Anytime I'm about to do a mitzvah or anytime I'm about to do certain mitzvahs, we'll discuss later which mitzvahs get a bracha and which mitzvahs don't, a fascinating topic. So Birchos HaMitzvah, Birchos Hoda'a, right? God did something good for me. I make a bracha. Sha'asali neis b'makom hazeh, you know, Sha'kocho gvurato male olam, Osem ma'aseh breishit, a whole range of brachos, most of which we don't say anymore because we're afraid to make brachos. Okay, thanking God. And then, of course, birchos hananim, on food. Mizonos, shahako, ha'etz, adama, right? Those are birchos hananim. Let's now look. And the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, you know, whenever you want to know a broad introduction to a topic, looking at the beginning of the Rambam's halachos on that works. Here it doesn't work as much because the first halacha, the Rambam describes the only birchas hamitzvah that we think is really d'oraisa, and that's benching. But eventually he gets to the third halacha, says the Rambam. U'kishem shemevorchim al hahanaya. The Rambam says, just like we make brachos on hana'a, on pleasure, kach mevarchin al kol mitzvah u mitzvah. The way the Rambam presents it, birchas hananin is foundational. Of course, before I eat or drink or get pleasure in this world, I thank God. And if that's the case for pleasure, that's also the case for mitzvahs, which makes it sound like birchos hamitzvah are modeled on birchos hananin and their thanks. Before I eat matzah, I thank God for giving me the opportunity to do this mitzvah of eating matzah. So, mevorchin al kol mitzvah u'mitzvah v'achar kach ya'aseh uta. Just like birchos hananin is made before I drink and before I eat, so too birchos hamitzvah are made before I get the hana'a of doing the mitzvah. Okay? U'brachot rabot tiknu chachamim derech shevach v'hodaya, says the Rambam, there are many, many brachos that Chazal made up to thank God and to give appreciation to God. In addition, v'derech bakasha, and also by way of request. By this, I think the Rambam is referring to the brachos we make during davening. Almost all of them are requests, certainly in Shemona Esrei, the main ones. Kidei lizkor et haborei tamid, in order to remember God at all times, af al pi shelo nehana velo asa mitzvah. Right, the way I read this is, there's a requirement to make birchas hananin before I get hana from this world. Based on that, there's a requirement to make a bracha on mitzvos. They're a form of hana'a in this world, and I need to thank God for it. Based on that, there's a big third category where Chazal want us to recall God during the course of the day. Chazal want us to remember that good things in our lives come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they made up a whole new category of brachos called Birchos Hoda'a. So for example, that's at the core of Shehecheyanu. I've always thought, not always, recently, I've come to think that we misunderstand the bracha of Shehecheyanu. We think, you know, it's like this narrowly defined mitzvah. I look in a halacha book, and it tells me these are the circumstances under which I make a Shehecheyanu. and these are the ones under which I don't? And the answer is no. When I experience joy, when I experience something unique in my life, I make a shachianu, and it's completely subjective. I think we've talked about this before. If, you know, buying a used car is exciting for me, I make a shachianu on buying a used car. If I'm a very wealthy person and buying even a new car isn't that exciting for me, unless it's like a really fancy one, so I don't. The mechayev of shachianu is subjective. The mechayev of shachianu is this is a unique moment in my life, and I'm excited for this moment, and I'm deeply appreciative to God for allowing me to experience this moment. Okay? That is the basic description of Birchos Hoda'ah. And then the Rambam says in Halacha Dalet, just to put it together, Nimtzu kol ha-brachot kulan shlosha minim. Therefore, it turns out, there are three categories of brachos. Birchot Hanaya, Birchos Hanenin, u-birchot mitzvot, the ones we're going to talk about today, brachos on mitzvot, u-birchot Hoda'ah, Shehein derech shevach v'hodaya u'bakasha kidei lizkar taborei tamid u'lira mimenu. And the whole category of Birchos Hoda'ah, which is a way of praising God, or I would say, a way of making us more God aware. Right? If you go to Niagara Falls and you're overwhelmed by the beauty of nature, so Chazal say, make a bracha. If you go to the ocean and you're overwhelmed by the beauty of nature, Chazal say, make a bracha. There are all these brachos that I think we make a mistake in avoiding because we're so terrified, you know, of a bracha levatala or bracha shenetzricha, where the halacha is otherwise. The halacha is we want to include God in our daily life, and whenever we have an opportunity to do that, we're supposed to do it. Okay, all that by way of introduction. Now let's ask the question, the basic question: is a birchas hamitzvah d'oraisa or d'rabbana? So the answer is going to be halacha l'maisa d'rabbana. I've given that away already, in that almost everybody could tell you the only bracha that's d'oraisa is benching, right? That's a pasuk v'achalta v'savata v'arachta. There is a machlokes harishonim whether birchas haTorah is a bracha d'oraisa or not. The Sefer HaChinuch modeled his Sefer on the Rambam's count. He always follows the Rambam, except for one case. But when he talks about benching, he mentions that although he follows the Rambam's count, and so you're not going to find Birchas HaTorah as a mitzvah in the Chinuch's Taryag mitzvahs, he says he thinks the Rambam's wrong. And if it was up to him, Birchas HaTorah would be an independent mitzvah like benching. Okay, notwithstanding that, there is a source in the Torah for Birchos HaMitzvah. Okay, look at source number two. The pasuk with respect to Trumos U'Maisos, you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you announce to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you've done everything you're supposed to do. The pasuk says as follows, Va'amarta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. Biarti akodesh min habayis. I've gotten rid of everything I was supposed to get rid of. V'gam nisativ la levi v'lager la yasom v'la almana. I've also given it to all the people who were supposed to get it. The levi, the ger, the yasom, the almana. Kichal mitzvascha shet sivisani. Lo avarti mi mitzvosecha v'lo shachachti. I've not violated your mitzvos, nor have I forgotten to do them. I haven't violated, nor have I forgotten. What does lo shachachti mean? I know you didn't forget. You're doing vidui maisa right now. So Rashi says v'lo shachachti milivarech al hafrashas maisros. Rashi takes presumably as a given that the pasuk is talking about the bracha you're supposed to make. Lo avarti mitzvosecha. I did not forget to give trumos u'maisros v'lo shachachti. I did not forget to make a bracha when I did so. Rashi is almost certainly based on the Mishnah in source number four in Ma'aser Sheni, Perek Halacha Yud Aleph, where the Mishnah says at the end, Lo shachachti milivarechecha umilahazkir shimcha alecha. I did not forget to mention you, God, or to make a bracha. So, you know, you have a Mishnah, you have Rashi, you have a Diuk and a Pasuk. Arguably, this Pasuk stands for the proposition that Birchos HaMitzvah are Da'oraisa. Nevertheless, nobody takes it seriously. Either because, even if you were supposed to take it seriously, it would just be a din in Trumos U'Maestros. It would not be a general din in all mitzvos. Or it's an asmachta. An asmachta is something that, a diuk that's made from words in a pasuk, but it's not to be taken literally. We don't really think velo shachachti in the pasuk means you're supposed to, you have a chiyuv d'oraisa to make a bracha. We think it means that you're supposed to have in mind God when you're mafrish trumos u'maestros. Okay, that would be a classic asmachta. The reason I feel so comfortable saying this is because while this diuk exists in a Mishnah and in Rashi, and by the way, I should be clear, in the Yerushalmi, which I couldn't find to put on the sheet, but there are a number of places in the Yerushalmi where it seems like they take the possibility that Birchos HaMitzvah are D'oraisa, it seems like they take it seriously. We'll come back to that. But the dominant makar is source number 5. The one that you find in all halachic discussions about Brachos and Birchos HaMitzvah in particular is this Gemara in Brachos Daf Tezvav Amud Aleph. Ditnan, the Gemara that quotes a Mishnah, HaKore Eshima V'lo Yishmi Ala Ozno, is a major machlokes if you read Kriyat Shema, but you didn't say it out loud. You were maharheret in your head. So you could hear yourself saying it, but you didn't enunciate it out loud. So the Gemara says, here's a machlok tanaim. Yatsa divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine if you read it to yourself. Rabbi Yossi Omer lo yatsa. No, you have to say Shema out loud. What's the explanation of Rabbi Yossi? So the Gemara says, Ad kan lo ka'ama Rabbi Yossi lo yatsa. Rabbi Yossi only says you're not yotze kriyashma if you don't say it out loud. Elo gabe kriyashma d'oraisa. He says it with respect to kriyashma because kriyashma is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So we're more machmir in reading kriyashma than we would be for other things. Aval truma, but with respect to hafrashas truma sumaisros, where Rabbi Yossi says you don't have to say it out loud, Mishum brachahu. There, you're only making a bracha. That's not the mitzvah. Ubracha dirabanan. And brachos, says the Gemara, are just midirabanan. More importantly, viblo bibracha talya mitzvah, milsa. The mitzvah is not conditioned on the recitation of a bracha. Right? Two things the Gemara says. One, brachos are only drabanan. There's no reason to be machmir in brachos to a machmir in kriyachma. Two, no mitzvah is contingent on the recitation of a bracha. The mitzvah is contingent on the action. Whatever the maisa ha-mitzvah is, that's what has to be done. A bracha is a lovely thing, and you're supposed to make a bracha. But the Gemara seems to say it's not ma'akeh. This turns out to be a really, really interesting discussion in a sefer that none of us have ever seen. It's called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, but it's quoted by the Rush in a really interesting context. Look at source number 6. The Rush says, this is a discussion at the very beginning of Chulin about who is allowed to do Shechita and particularly whether women can do the mitzvah of Shechita. So the Rush quotes, Hilchos Eretz Yisrael, again, a sefer I've never seen, but it's quoted by the Rush. I don't know who wrote it. Kasav, dinashim lo yishchatu mipnei shedaitan kalos. Women should not slaughter because in this context means squeamish, which by the way means I should never slaughter, which God willing I will never do. Right? They'll flinch. They'll mess up because it's just a hard thing to do. Says the Rush, Ve'ena shas shalano sober kein. The Bavli doesn't hold this way. The Bavli thinks it's fine for women to do Shechita. Now let's get to our point. Va'oto chacham shekatav hilchot eretz Yisrael. The Rush says, and here I think he means it in an insulting way. He says, that chacham who wrote the sefer hilchot eretz Yisrael, kasav chumros midaito. He made up a bunch of chumros that are wrong. Ukimokain, here's the list of chumros he made up that are wrong. Kasav, shachach v'lobirech shchitaso psula. Says the Rush, this guy who wrote the Sefer wrote that if you did shchita without making the bracha, sheh kidishonam tzav tzivano ala shchita, your shchita is psula. Wow. Okay, that's the source for a birchas ha-mitzvah being ma'akev, the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Shechting is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And here this Hilchos Eretz Yisrael says, if you didn't make a bracha, the shechita's psula. But the Rush says that's ridiculous. V'lo ish tamit lan b'shum duchta. We don't find, says the Rush, in any case, d'mishum hachia v'shechita psula. The Rush says he simply has no source. There is no source, says the Rush, for the fact that not making a bracha on shechita would be ma'akev the mitzvah. The mitzvah stands on its own. Now, there are two ways to read this. You could say that Rush is only saying it with respect to one particular mitzvah, the mitzvah of shechita. But I think that statement could be made with respect to all mitzvahs. There is no mitzvah that goes unfulfilled if you did the mitzvah. Meaning, if you ate matzah, if you heard a shofar, if you sat in a sukkah, if you took a lulav, if you read a haggadah, if you made, I know Kiddush is not a good example because it kind of has a bracha in it. It is a bracha. But the general idea is that brachos are external to the Maisa HaMitzvah. They are a wonderful way, to thank God for allowing us to do the mitzvah. They really are. But they're not part of the mitzvah. And it's not even as if you did the mitzvah without a bracha, that you were yotze b'di'evet. No, you're yotze l'chatchila. It's true. You missed out on a mitzvah d'rabbanan of making a bracha. I'm not in favor of that. Let's be clear. I like brachos as much as the next person, even though I sound like I'm against it. But it's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is doing whatever the act is. If you read Megillah, or you heard Megillah, if you lit Hanukkah, you lit a menorah, you didn't make a bracha, you riyotze the mitzvah. You missed out on this extra special thanks that we want to do when we do a mitzvah. And the truth is, we love the bracha part. I think it's because we're less self-confident in the mitzvah. Like, it's just an act. How do I know it means anything? But when I make a bracha, then I'm talking to God. The whole waving of a lulav, I don't get. But when I make a bracha, then I'm talking to God. And I that strikes me as a mistake. And that strikes me as something that it's not supported by halacha. Okay, now let's go to the most interesting part of the discussion. And that is, when do we make a bracha on a mitzvah and when don't we? Right, our instinct is, oh yeah, we always make a bracha on a mitzvah. But it turns out that's not true. Here's the Rambam's formulation. In source number 7, Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, says the Rambam, V'chol mitzvat asei shebein adam lamakom, bein mitzvah she'eina chova, bein mitzvah shehi chova, says the Rambam, any mitzvat asei bein adam lamakom, you're supposed to make a birchas hamitzvah prior to doing the action, right? That's called over la'asiyasan. What's the obvious diuk in the Rambam? What doesn't get a birchas hamitzvah?
Again, lo taseh.
No, that doesn't. You're right about that. But v'chol mitzvah taseh shebein adam la'makom.
Right, bein adam l'chaveiro.
That's a bracha, right? the Rambam excludes the entirety of Bein Adam LaChaveiro. And the Kesef Mishnah right there in Source 8 points it out. V'dikdek Rabbeinu lichtov shebein Adam LaMakom lomar d'mimitzvot shebein Adam LaChaveiro kigon asiyat tzedaka uchidome ein mevorchin alehem. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam is meduyak. The Rambam says, I make a brach on all mitzvot asei bein Adam LaMakom. The inference being, I don't make on any bein Adam LaChaveros, which, by the way, is more or less our experience, right? Giving staka is a mitzvah saseh. You don't make a bracha on it, right? Taking care of your parents is a mitzvah saseh. You do not make a bracha on it. The question is, you know, is it as black and white as the Rambam presents? And if so, why? Right. Why is it that there's a difference between Benom LaMakoms and Benom LaChaver? They're all commanded by God. It's true. I like to think of myself as a person who would give tzedakah, even if it wasn't a mitzvah. I like to think of myself as a person who would do kibud avayim, even if it wasn't a mitzvah. But it is a mitzvah. So why do I lose out on the kiyum ha-mitzvah? Why do I lose out on the bracha? Wouldn't it be more spiritual if before I brought my mother a tea, or when I brought her a tea, I made a bracha, and I turned it into some kind of religious experience, not just, you know, being a good son, or not just, you know, being a good person, but being a religious person? Wouldn't that change my experience? What do people think? All right. I'll tell you.
You can think that in your mind anyway.
Okay, so true. You could make a secret Yehi Ratzon in your head. But I don't know where I heard this, but it's very compelling to me. That the problem is, you're supposed to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em. You're supposed to do the mitzvah of Staka because God told you to. But you're not supposed to turn the other person into an object, into a cheftza shel mitzvah, right? So on a philosophic level, we'll come to other reasons in a second, but on a philosophic level, you know, if I bring my mother a tea and I make a bracha, I make my mother feel bad. Why? Because she says to herself, oh, he's not doing it to be nice. He's doing it because it's a mitzvah. He's doing it because he's the object of a mitzvah. I got, you know, when you have corona and you're, you know, everybody in yeshiva knows it. You get a lot of, you know, and no one could visit you. So you get a lot of bikur cholim phone calls. And people are kind of like, you know, apologetic. I'm only calling you, you know, to be mekayim mitzvah of bikur cholim. Why? You could just be nice. Like, you feel a bit like an object, right? There's a famous Rav Blachman story. He's from Karen Biavna. He was in the hospital. And some guy walked past his room and then did a double take and stop and came back in and said, you know, I was here visiting somebody else and I see you're in the hospital. I'll chapa mitzvah bikur cholim for you also. And he said to the guy, what am I, a lulav? Right, it's a great line. What am I, your cheftza shel mitzvah? When you make a bracha, you know, presumably whoever comes to my door for tzedakah knows that I'm giving him tzedakah because it's a mitzvah. You know, but maybe they think I really like him. Maybe they think I really want to participate in the wedding. I really want to be supportive of what's good. If you make a bracha when you give it to the person, you're basically saying, you're my cheftza shel mitzvah. You're like my lulav. You're my sukkah. You're my matzah. I'm only doing this because God commanded me. Now, I don't know that this is the Rambam shita, but if the Rambam thinks that every single mitzvah benom lachaveiro doesn't get a bracha, this wouldn't be a bad, this would be a pretty good explanation. It covers all Beinom L'Chaveros, and the explanation is simply this: we don't want people to feel like objects of mitzvahs. We want people to feel, you know, if I made a bracha, maybe this is a better example, right? Sometimes I'm mekayim the mitzvah of the Ahav Talarecha Kamov. All of us are. But imagine if when we did it, we made a bracha. It would make the other person feel bad, I think. You know, my neighbor is entitled to think that I really like them and I'm doing it for that reason. And even if it's true, I really do like my neighbors. When you make a bracha, I think it undermines the sense that we're in this together. It undermines the idea about beinam lechavera, which is people are supposed to feel a kinship and people are supposed to feel a connection. And I think, according to this explanation, whoever says it, this would undermine that feeling. It would certainly undermine the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. As a result, we don't make brachos on beinam lechaveros. Okay, back in the Rambam in 7, just to point out, when the Rambam says it covers all mitzvahs, bein mitzvah she'ena chova, bein mitzvah shehi chova, what does that mean? That covers different types of mitzvahs. For example, we don't have an unconditional mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. If you live in a house, you have a mitzvah to put up a mezuzah. If you're wearing a four-cornered garment, you have a mitzvah of attaching tzitzis. There are conditional ones, right? If you have a high porch, you have a mitzvah to put a railing around it. That's what the Rambam means between mitzvahs that are chova, they're obligatory. I have to put on tefillin every day, but I don't have to put up a mezuzah every day. I don't have to take tzitzis every day. I don't have to put up a makkah every day. Okay, fine. That's the Rambam. But the most famous source that deals with the question of when do I make a mitzvah, a bracha, and when I don't, is the Tshuvas HaRashba. Source number 9, Chelek Aleph Simon Yud Ches. Everybody quotes this because it has a lot in it. It's longer than what I quoted, but it's very accessible. The Rashba's question that was asked to him is from mitzvahs we don't normally think of. Sha'alta, Lama Ein Mevarchin Al HaMitzvot, Kulan. Why do we make a bracha on all mitzvos? Kigon hamalva es chavera. If you lend money to your friend, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a better mitzvah than staka. Va'atoeini mokiyos, when if you help your friend, you know, he's going to drop a package and you help him. Why do we make brachos on things like that? Those are obviously two examples of beinam lechaveros. So first the Rashba tells you, bad news. It's not as simple as the Rambam makes it out. He says, tshuva zo she'ela amuka v'davar she'amdu alav ha-rishonim zatzal. This is a very deep question and something that many Rishonim have discussed. V'nistabchu bo, and they got confused, harbe, mipnei ma mevarchin al mikzatan ve'ein mevarchin al kulam. He says it's a very confusing topic. Why does some mitzvos get a bracha and others don't? Ve'ezo she mevarchin ola, ve'ezo she'ein mevarchin ola. And which get and which don't. So again, I don't know if he's specifically referring to the Rambam, but the Rambam made it seem very simple. Beinam lamakoms, get a mitzvah. By the way, everybody agrees to that. Beinam lachaveros, don't. But the Rashba thinks it's more complicated than that. And he says, ve'ein ha'inyan talui b'ta'am echad, she'etein lecha klal echad bohem. Says the Rashba, it's confusing because there's not one explanation. There's not one fundamental principle under which these mitzvos get and these mitzvos don't get a bracha. Ella, kol mitzvah, so he gives you the rules. There's a few rules. One, kol mitzvah she'ein ba ma'aseh, ein mevarchin aleha. Any mitzvah that doesn't have an action doesn't get a bracha. Kigon hashmatas ksafim ukiyot zaban, right? At the end of Shemitah, there is a mitzvah saseh to cancel all loans. But it's automatic. There's no action you have to take in order to be mekayim that mitzvah. So says the Rashba, brachos require an action. This would also be the answer to Debbie's point before, why lotases don't have brachos. There's no action. Right, there's no moment where you sit down and in front of you, you know, is a steak and then a glass of milk. And you make a bracha where you say, Asher k'shem tzav tzivonu l'kaye ma shenemar lo sivashel gedi b'chalev imo. We don't think it's a good idea to sit down in front of a steak, you know, and a glass of milk. So there is no maisa there on which you make a bracha. So the first klal of the Rashba is brachos can only be made on actions. Therefore, lo ta'aseis, don't get brachos, nor do aseis that don't have actions. That's the first rule. Second, v'chein, ein mevarchin al mitzvah she'eina tulia kula biyad ha'oseh. We do not make a bracha on actions that are not 100% contingent on the actor. So, for example, well, he says, mipnei, she'efshar she'lo yitratzeh bo chavero, v'nimtza ma'aseh mitbatel. It's possible that the guy comes to your door, okay, and he asks you for 1,000 shekel. When you give him 10 shekel, he refuses to take it. It's happened before. Kigon matnot aniyim. Staka. Vahalva ahadalim and lending money. Unitinat staka vahanaka kyotzeban. So that says the Rashba, second rule. Any mitzvah that may be canceled or not accepted by another person, and maybe this is almost every benon lachavero, doesn't get a bracha. So for example, I bring a tea to my mother, but she says she doesn't want a tea. Well, if I made a bracha, that would be a bracha levatala. Or she wants hot chocolate, not a tea. Okay? So the Rashba says here, it's not really internal to the bracha. The Rashba is worried about a bracha levatala. It's a big discussion, by the way, under a chuppah, what kind of bracha it is, whether it should be made, why. She might say no. Right, according to the Rashba's understanding, Birchas Erison is a big gamble under the chuppah. Okay, there's a million reasons for her to say yes, including how much they've invested in the wedding. But in theory, that's a discussion in Birchas Erison. Why do we make a bracha if it's contingent on somebody else saying yes? Okay, next. So that's the second rule. One, you need a maisa. Two, it can't be subject to somebody else's approval. Three, v'chein al davar shehu masur lebezdin. When Bezdin takes action, you know, asiyat hadinim. When Bezdin makes a judgment, that's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah. But the Rashba says Bezdin doesn't make a bracha. Shema lo yikablu ba'alei din et da'ato. Because it requires the acceptance by the ba'alei din. If Bezdin makes a judgment, but it's rejected and somebody runs away and can't be enforced, then that would be a bracha levatala. Next, fourth rule. V'chein kol mitzvah shehi ba'a mitoch aveira. Right? A mitzvah haba ba'aveira. And here it's interesting for two reasons. One, the most famous example. Kigon ha-shabbat ha-gzela. Okay, if I steal from you, there's a mitzvah saseh of v'heishivet ha-gzela she-gazal. When I am mekayim that mitzvah, the Rashba says it's pretty inappropriate to make a bracha, like you're the biggest tzaddik in the world, right? You make a big bracha on Hashavas Gzela, but you stole. So here the Rashba says that's part of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Okay, v'chazarat ha-ribit, when you give back interest, again, that's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Shelot tzivanu ligzol kidei lahashiv v'likach. We were not commanded, you know, when you think about it, I want to be a Mekayim so many mitzvahs. Nobody thinks you're supposed to go steal so that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of the Heshiva Sagzela. Now, by the way, the Rashba gives away his opinion with respect to another famous mitzvah. He says, V'likach et ha'ein k'dei she'nachzor v'nishlach ota v'al kiyotze b'zeh. The Rashba says, the mitzvah that people love so much in the world, right? Shiluach HaKein. Why do people love it so much? Because it has Arichas Yamim, Vaharachta Yamim. Says the Rashba, it's an Aveira to take the mother. Okay, the mitzvah is if you took the mother, send her away. But here the Rashba makes clear, you don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein because it's a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, which goes to the point of, it's probably not a mitzvah we're supposed to be chasing. It's a mitzvah if you want the eggs, So you send away the mother. But sending away the mother is painful and not something you're supposed to do. Next category. V'chein matnos kahuna. Ein mevarchim al nesina son. Why do we make a bracha when we give truma sumaisros? Interesting reason, says the Rashi.
Excuse me, isn't Rebus also between people?
Yes, but again, the Rashba doesn't say like the Rambam. The Rambam says, every Ben Am L'Chavero. The Rashba says, no, these are the rules. It's not a din in Ben Am L'Chavero. It's a din in Brachos. Right? He's building to something which will look similar to the Rambam, but he disagrees with the Rambam, you know, halachically. He thinks there's nothing wrong with Ben Am L'Chaveros, and presumably he thinks my explanation for the Rambam is wrong. Okay, good. Matnos Kahuna, why not? Says the Rashba, because it doesn't belong to us. That which we give to the Kohen was given to us by God in safekeeping, but it always belonged to the Kohen. Okay? Similarly, you don't make a bracha on Machtis HaShekel, because it's not our money. Okay? But Aval Al Pidyon HaBen, when your poda, your firstborn son, Val Afrash Aschala, Umaisros, not truma, but maisros, mivarech, mipnei she'eino mivarech al hanetina elahal hafrasha. There, you're not giving something, you're just separating. Okay. And then he has another category. We're just about done. The last one. Ve'ein mivarechin al mitzvah she'ikara eina mitzvah. He says, you don't make a bracha on something which isn't really a mitzvah. Kegon chalitza v'yibum. It's true, the Torah says, if God forbid your brother dies childless, you should marry his wife. But he says, that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is l'hakim shein b'Yisrael, to have a child who will carry on your brother's legacy. So since that's not the mitzvah, there's no bracha. Okay? And now my case, last one. V'chein al bikur cholim, Vitanchume Aveilim Vavoat Shalom and Om Lachaveiro. Okay, when you do Bikur Cholim, when you do Nichum Aveilim, right, you don't make a bracha. Hamakom Yinachem Eschem is not a bracha. He says, Mipnei Shem Tulim Biad Acherim, De Dilma Lom Mekable Mine, Uvi Adam La Akor Mimenu Mitzvazo. Again, same example as we saw on top, says the Rashba. People could reject it. Right, you go visit somebody and they don't want to see you. You know, you say something that you think is going to make the person who lost a loved one feel good, and it insults him and he gets angry at you. Okay, so again, this Rashba has 6 or 7, I lost count, specific rules that more or less get us to where the Rambam was, right? The Rambam says you don't make a bracha on any mitzvah beinam lechaveiro. The Rashba says you don't make a bracha on any mitzvah that's contingent on the acceptance of somebody else. It's pretty close, but it's a different idea than the Rambam has. Okay, what do we get from all this? It's clear that brachos are derabanan. It's clear that brachos are not ma'akev a mitzvah. You can be yotzei the mitzvah without making the bracha. And it's clear that the mitzvah stands on its own. And yet, we're obsessed with brachos. V'haraya, if you miss a night of counting Sfiras HaOmer, you are 75% more likely to miss another night, you know, because you're out. But you're not out. You're allowed to count. Counting is the mitzvah. Bracha is not a mitzvah. I think a lot of this is the downside of like Hasidus, where we like to say yihi ratzons, and we like to have all these kavanos, and if I'm not saying something, how meaningful could it be? But I think in this way, we make a mistake. I think we de-emphasize the maisa ha-mitzvah, which is the main thing. Counting Sfiras HaOmer is the main thing, not making the bracha, although you see in shul, people have great kavana for the bracha and less kavana for the actual mitzvah. Or they love saying the Hineni Muchans, you know, before or after, but not so much the counting of the days, which is the actual mitzvah. I think I've mentioned this before. The Rav made this point It's a few people make it. The Rav made the point with respect to sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Okay, here I'm going to offend somebody. The Gemara is clear that on Shmini Atzeres, which is Safek Shvi'i, Safek Shmini, right? It's a Sveika Diyoma. Why don't we just sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? The problem is because it's a tarte, you know, it's a clash. It can't be Shmini Atzeres if you're sitting in a sukkah. Shmini Atzeres is a regal bifnei atzma. So the Gemara says, Yisuve Yasfinan, the din is, it's not a machlokas, the din is, you sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, Bruche Lomavar Chinan, but you don't make a bracha. Because this way you could pretend that you're not really sitting in a sukkah to be Mekayim the mitzvah. You're sitting in a sukkah because Sukkaso Arevalo, because it's a beautiful day. I just happened to be sitting outside. Okay? I had this once, but it wasn't right after. We had a bar mitzvah. I don't know whose bar mitzvah it was. In a hotel, the Shabbos after Sukkos. And they made the Kiddush in the still standing sukkah, which was in the shade. So I was like, well, is this Baal Tosif? Like sitting in a, you know? It was a strange question. But the Rav said, so if the Gemara is so clear, why are there so many from Jews who don't sit in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? He said, the answer is because everybody knows if you don't make a bracha, there's no point to doing it. And that's a mistake. And that leads, you know, that leads to mistake, to mistake in, you know, what is the Maisa Mitzvah, which is sitting in a sukkah, and what is, you know, the Birchas Mitzvah, which is a lovely thing. It's a lovely thing, but it's not, you know, it's not the mitzvah. I just saw Jackie. Sefer Chazer Yisrael, quoted by the Rosh, was written by Rabbi Baruch of Germaiza. I know him. Ah, let me guess, you went to school with him in Germany. Okay, one of the Balei Tosfos. All right. Anyway, the Rosh didn't like him so much, at least from what we saw here. Okay. So that's one example. The other example I love to quote is a tshuva of Rav Moshe. When I was a little kid, and all of you were older than that, during the oil crisis after the Yom Kippur War, right? So President Nixon decided to save, you know, to save energy. They were not going to roll back daylight savings time. Okay, it'll be lighter later in the day. We'll save money on energy. The problem was that made nights in the winter like 8:15. Which is really bad for people who daven at a 6 o'clock minyan, right? There's no sheet in the world that supported putting on, you know, if you had to put on tefillin then, it was clearly before any sheet that supported, you know, hanachas talis and tefillin. Rav Moshe paskined that you can put on tefillin then. He said, basically, you're getting up, you're going to shul, it's clear that you're not going to fall asleep. All the general rules about not wearing tefillin at night don't really apply in that situation. Therefore, he said you could put on tefillin. Now, he also suggested that later in the day, in the course of your day, if you have time to lock, you know, close the door of your office and put on tefillin again, you should do it then. When should you make a bracha? So I would have said, well, don't make a bracha early in the morning when it's a suffix and it's dark out. Make it during the course of the day. Rav Moshe said, no, you make the bracha in the morning or at night and again during the day. Why? So the Torah Sheba Al Peh about the tshuva is Rav Moshe thought if he said you're allowed to put on tefillin in the morning at 6 o'clock, but you're not allowed to make a bracha, no one would have taken it seriously because everybody knows that without a bracha, there's no mitzvah. But that's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. There's a mitzvah del reis of tefillin, and it's a great example because the Rambam counts two separate mitzvahs, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. But the Rambam only makes a bracha on his tefillin shel yad. Right? Sfaradim don't make a bracha on tefillin shel rosh unless they were mafsik. It's exactly this point. We've associated mitzvah with bracha, and it leads us to all kinds of wrong conclusions. We have to remind ourselves again that the emphasis is on the Maisa HaMitzvah. And maybe the best example of this is lulav, right? How do we all take a lulav? So the answer is, you know, you take it with the pitum down. Why? Because you want to be holding the lulav and esrog when you make a bracha of al natilas lulav. Right? If it was me, I would have said, fine, just leave it on the table. But Chazal say, no, that's too far before, right? There's over la asiyasan, and there's over de over la asiyasan. If it's sitting on the table, that's too long before. You have to hold it. The Gemara says, when you pick it up, you're yotze, right? Mida agbe nafke. When I pick up my lulav, I was yotze. Yeah, but I didn't make a bracha. The Gemara's not bothered by that. You don't need to make a bracha to be yotze. That's why we have the esrog upside down. And then we turn it right side up after we make the bracha, because we want to be able to make a bracha. I'm not saying we don't want to make brachas. Of course we do. But the bracha, you know, doesn't inhibit you from being yotze the mitzvah. That's not what the bracha does. The bracha is an extra special reward for being able to do the mitzvah. So in the end, we love brachos, but we love maisa mitzvah more, right? The point of mitzvahs is to do the mitzvah. It does give us an opportunity to be mekayim a mitzvah midrabanan of making birchas ha-mitzvah, and we want to do that, and we want to do it over la'asiyasan, and we want to do it with kavana. But we shouldn't lose track that the maisa ha-mitzvah is what matters, and the bracha is a lovely thing, but it's almost unrelated. It's not fair to say it's unrelated, because it's a birchas ha-mitzvah. You're making a bracha on the action, but it's the action that matters. And if you made a bracha and you didn't do the action, you weren't yotze anything. In fact, you were over on a, you know, you were over on an avera of bracha levatala. I think Sfardim are more sensitive to us to this than we are, right? For example, Sfardi women don't make brachos on mitzvah sasei shazman grama. Right, the Mechaber Paskins against it, Rav Ovadia was against it, probably because they think a bracha levatala under the Shitas Haram is an Isur Doraisa. But women do it. I think Sephardi women in Israel all count. They just never make a bracha. But because they do that, because that's normative in how they do it, they're not stuck up with the same problem we are. They understand that you're allowed to be Yotzei a mitzvah without making a bracha. Okay, that's the whole point of today. We should remind ourselves, we should always make brachos, but we should also remind ourselves that brachos are secondary to the Maisa HaMitzvah. When we can't Sfiras HaOmer tonight, it's great to have kavana for the bracha. It's better to have kavana for 35. Everybody have a great, great week.
Ellie, can I ask you a question?